Good morning, church. That was a fun little video. I don't know why they left out the cutest camper, my daughter Ivy, but still fun. We had about 100 students there. I think you guys gave, I heard, about 10,000 bucks in scholarship money to help a bunch of other students come, which is very fun. And apparently Spring Hill loved being at Grace, and Grace loved having Spring Hill, and so you can, I think, be on the lookout again for that next year. My name is Matt Mancinelli, and it's good to be back. Last time I spoke here, you may recall we passed offering plates where you all were taking money out of them, gave $2 bills out, and then some $100 bills, and everybody since then has asked, hey, Matt, you're speaking again. Are you giving out some more money? The answer is no. Actually, come to think of it, everybody who asked isn't here this morning. Sorry, guys. There will be none of that. But it's fun to be here. I grew up going here to Grace. Left in 2001, came back in 2017 with my wife Loretta and my three kids, Ivy, Stella, and Grant. We came back in order to lead Sortie Trite. For those of you who don't know Sortie Trite, we've got sports and literacy ministry here on the east side. Thank you very much. We've got about 1,000 kids playing soccer, flag football, baseball. We just, I was over at an ice rink yesterday at a Try Hockey for Free event where we had some of our kids getting suited up and loaner skates and helmets and gloves and playing around on the ice, which is really fun. So lots of good stuff happening. Nate Schwartz leads that sports stuff. I spend 95% of my time on the literacy side of things, which all started right here at Grace after school 15 years ago. And actually, for the first time in a while, we're going to go just do 2 days a week after school here at Grace because we're really focusing on getting into the schools in the city. We've got at least 10 schools that will be launching in here in October, probably a couple more than that, including Carleton, which I mentioned especially because it's going to have a special relationship with Grace. So Allie in Women's Ministry has been collecting school supplies for teachers over there at Carleton, and then the plan is for us to send probably about 70 of you over there during the school day a couple times a week to mentor students there at Carleton, and a real cool chance not just to invite people here after school, but to be there and in the schools, and so that's fun. I think Pastor Doug will be talking more about it in the next couple weeks. And so I say all that to say thank you very much. You guys, obviously, Grace has been a huge part of that, and also to say we still need lots of help, so Valerie or somebody on the team is back at a kiosk if you want to sign up to mentor here or at Carleton. If you want to drop off any checks, big ones, large ones, huge ones, all accepted, little ones too, then we would accept all of the above. So thanks. One more thing actually I want to say about Sortie Trite, because I'm so stinking excited about it, is we've been working on core values. And our team has gone away a couple times to dig in. They're really internal. How do we hire people, fire people using those core values? Not necessarily meant to be shared publicly. But can I just share them with you guys real quick? Because they're exciting and fun. So there's four, or there's actually five. We're still tweaking the wording on the last one. So I'll share four. Number one is dependence on Christ. And so what that means is not just, we're not just kind of a faith-based organization or stopping at some level there. In fact, in a lot of what we do, we're really teaching reading and sports and stuff like that. But it's an acknowledgement that says everything that we do, every kid who learns how to read is not because we can do it, but because God does it through us. And we're depending. So we don't open meetings in prayer because it's a good thing, Christian thing to do, but because we're acknowledging we need God to make all of this happen. So that's number one. Number two is care and respect for kids. And so everything we do starts with the child in mind, ends with the child in mind, the way we design lessons, the way we're trying to continue to make it fun, to bring in more books with characters who look like the kids that are in them. The reason we have mentors instead of just tutors to invest in kids' lives is all because we care and respect kids. Number three is educational justice. So we know that we love justice, that God loves justice, and yet we live in a world of injustice. And we believe that kids all have the right to a great education, whether they're born in the city or the suburbs, to parents who are rich or poor. And so that's our third value, is to say, how do we level that playing field and create justice in education for all students? And then fourth and last for this morning is a relentless pursuit of better results. And so our students, when we look at the data, school district data, our students way outperformed their peers last year, which is great. But that doesn't mean that we're stopping there. That doesn't mean that we're okay with that. We got to keep pursuing better and better results because we don't want just our kids to be more proficient than other kids. We want them to be all the way proficient. And we don't just want to be pushed into a few schools. We want to be pushed into all the schools. And so this core value is almost a commitment to never be satisfied, to keep pushing, to keep driving forward. This core value hates statements like, oh, at least that's good enough. Something is better than nothing. At least we can help a little bit. We're not buying into any of that. We're saying, how do we keep making what we do be better and better and better until we have entire classes and entire city of kids who are proficient readers. So thanks for letting me share those values, and we're really excited about them. Hopefully you like them too. Thank you. I do have an actual sermon to preach. That's not about SOAR, so let me pray and we'll push into it. Father, thanks for the chance to be back here, and thanks that you're working in us this morning. I pray that we would see that and that we would respond to it. I don't think that these next 20-some minutes are going to change anyone's life, but I pray that some nuggets we would carry away and practice, and that they would indeed change our lives. And so I pray to that end for each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm curious if any of you want to change, want your lives to change, and I don't just mean circumstantially. Maybe you want to live somewhere where it's warm all year round, as it seems to be suddenly cooling down in August, or maybe you want a different job or to win the lottery or something like that. I mean more internal, real personal change. So maybe you want to be kinder to the people that you meet. Maybe you want to love your spouse better. Maybe you want to be more patient with your children. Maybe you want to be free from an addiction that has gripped you for a long time. And what we're going to talk about today is how we partner with God in that change process, that he's working to that end for us, and we get to partner. Actually, we'll put a phrase up on the screen, and I'd love for you to say it with me. God is working in me, and he's inviting me to participate. All right, let's do it one more time with a little more. I'll get a little more energy, and you can get a little more energy. God is working in me, and he's inviting me to participate. All right, thank you. So, you know, I should have probably said this right away because I'm thinking that you guys have been distracted the whole time I've been up here. Like, why does Matt look so ripped and fit and trim this time around compared to when he was up here in December? And, you know, I should have addressed that right away, got out of your head. Okay, so maybe you're not thinking that, but I'll answer anyway. Pastor Doug roped me into doing Cyphus training. A couple Cyphusers. A great workout program here, and I've been doing it since January. And what Cyphus is you've got this turf in a gym, and you're doing exercises, a bunch of exercises, one after another, seeing how many you can do in an hour, some of which are really, really hard. So hard that I feel like I've got to show you. I can't just tell you about it, so you can know what it's like. So I brought a Frisbee up here. I want you to pretend this is a 35-pound plate, which is what I usually use. And I'm definitely not the kind of guy who owns weights. I try to work out like once a year, typically, prior to this year. So I'm going to use a Frisbee instead. But there's this exercise called an inchworm that requires yours truly and anyone else doing it to stand on the plate and crouch down and crawl out into a plank and then use all your ab muscles and pull it towards you. And you've got to do this over and over again, 60 feet down the turf and back again. And this happened to be an exercise that was up on the board. You're always doing different exercises. The very first time that I came to Cyphus. And let me tell you what my response was. I went maybe as far as I just did just now, maybe not quite that far, and then went outside the door and crouched down and tried not to throw up. And then came back in and did a few more and then went back outside and tried not to throw up again. And I'll tell you what, it did not matter how much I wanted to accomplish it. And I did want to do it. I thought maybe I could impress Pastor Doug, my friend Dave Rickerman was there. I thought I could impress him or Mike, who runs the gym. And it just didn't matter. I mean, it wouldn't matter if one of you guys said, I'll give you $1 million for SOAR if you can get down to that end of the gym. Or Loretta was there saying, looking really impressed, saying, if you can get to that end, I should go there in church. No matter how much I wanted it, there is no way I could have got to that end. I had to train if I wanted to do that. And I say all that to share, not because I really thought you were wondering about my much more manly physique, or not so much, but because our spiritual lives, much of our lives, all of our lives, are much like that in the sense that training is what we need to do, not just trying harder. And so there's a quote we'll put up by John Ortberg, who wrote a great book about spiritual disciplines, that says, spiritual transformation is not a matter of trying harder, but of training wisely, right? And so I wanted to get to the other end of the gym, but no matter how hard I tried, no amount of hard trying was gonna get me from here to there. And likewise, I mean, John just gave the announcement looking for a bass player. If I said, John, I'm gonna sign up to do that, and I'm gonna come up here and I'm gonna try really hard, I mean, there's not any way to save my life I could play a song on the bass. Not today, maybe a year or two or three from now if I practice and trained, but not just by trying can I get there. And sometimes I make the mistake spiritually of thinking it's different, right? So we had that song, I wrote down the lyric, you give me joy down in my soul, that Norflette reticent a little bit. And for some of us that resonates and we're feeling like, yeah, I've got some kind of joy down in my soul. For others of us, not so much. Right, we're going, nice song, Norflette, but I'm not feeling a joy down in my soul. And we think, if I just sing that song hard enough, if I try hard enough, if I get really serious about the way I sing it, then I'll have joy. But that's not how it works, right? It's not a matter of trying harder. Pastor Doug could preach a sermon on patience next week, and I could leave excited, okay, great, I'm gonna be patient, and then get in the car with my 2.5-year-old Grant, who between now and getting home 5 minutes from now says, Daddy, I see Twacta, Daddy, I see Twacta, Daddy, I see Twacta, like 20 times, maybe pees in his car seat somewhere between 10 and 11. And no matter how hard I try, I'm not just gonna be patient. I've gotta train for that and do some things that will help me grow in patience. And so what that, another a word for that training is a word called spiritual disciplines. I've got a quote we'll put up here. It is that a friend of mine wrote, says, spiritual disciplines are concrete activities that I engage in order to make myself available to the work that only God can do. So in other words, only God can I believe, make me joyful. I can't just turn a switch and say, hey, great, today I'm miserable, tomorrow I'm joyful. It doesn't work like that. But I could say every day I'm gonna write down 5 things I'm grateful for. And that activity, that concrete activity would help produce joy. It would allow, that's a way that God could be inviting me into that. So we're gonna talk about spiritual disciplines. I'm gonna give a little bit of an overview here for the next few minutes. And then I'm gonna give you 6 specific examples of spiritual disciplines that we could try. And my hope is that each of us would leave here going, okay, here's this one thing that resonated with me somewhere. It won't be the same for all of us, but is there one discipline, is there one activity that I could leave here with today and practice and see God work in that. Sometimes we think the word discipline, by the way, sounds like that must mean it's not fun. One of the spiritual disciplines is celebration, where we practice celebrating, partying, doing these kinds of things with each other. They can often be very fun. And they're also, the other thing I wanna say right off the bat is sometimes we get the feeling like these are things we should do, like we're told that. You should read your Bible, you should pray more, and we leave church feeling all shoulded on, and that's not what I want to do today. These are things that we can engage in order to get what we want, right? If I wanna be more joyful, if I wanna feel the downpour that we also sang about, if I want to be kinder to my spouse than I am, those are all things that we want and we can engage in disciplines to get there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, great. So I'm gonna put a slide up here, here we go, of some sample disciplines. One author breaks them down this way. Some are disciplines of abstinence, in other words, things that I restrain or refrain from participating in, and then others of our engagement, things I do on purpose. Different people break them down different ways. That's not that important. It's just the way the list is up here. So in this case, spiritual disciplines of abstinence, things I can resist doing, are solitude. Right, I'm gonna withdraw from being around people and be by myself for an hour or a day or whatever that looks like. Silence, frugality, refrain from spending on myself for a period of time. Secrecy, fasting, chastity, sacrifice. These are all things that I can kind of give up on doing in order to pursue maybe some of these disciplines of engagement. So I can study the Bible, I can worship, celebrate, serve, pray, have fellowship, or confess, or sacrifice with one another, our disciplines of engagement, things that we do. The next slide is another chart. We're not going to go through them all. I just wanted to put it up here so you can see there's not just those 12 or 14 that were on the last page. So even if you look all the way to the right-hand column on pray, here are all these different disciplines this author lists. Breath prayer, I don't even know what that means. Contemplation, conversational prayer, fasting, intercessory prayer, praying scripture, or prayer walking, right, are all different individual disciplines and all linked to certain desires and things that I want to cultivate in my life. And so that's what a spiritual discipline is. Just two observations I want to make before we go further as well about the way God tends to work in us. So one is that it's gradual. So it's not as if we are going to likely read our Bible for the next 2 or 3 or 4 days and all of a sudden our worlds are going to change, right? God works slower than that. Galatians 5, Paul uses this phrase, this fruit of the Spirit. So these are some of the things we might want. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Why does he use this word fruit? He's not talking about fruit to this point or anything agricultural or whatever. He could have said the traits of the Spirit or the things the Holy Spirit does. I think one of the reasons he uses the word fruit is because it gives us this idea of slow growth, right? We can't just make it happen in a day. There's no way I can produce an apple between now and tomorrow. It takes time and it's seasonal, right? There's seasons where the tree is winter, nothing's happening, and then stuff happens a lot more quickly in the summer. But anyway, in any case, the fruit that God produces in our life is gradual. So it requires patience. If we each walk out of here ready to practice one discipline, and I hope we do, it's not as if, great, 2 days from now, all these things are changing. It's gradual. The second observation I want to make is that it's internal. So the same passage says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Not the fruit of the Spirit is leadership or counseling or better accounting or whatever you do during the day. And what we're asking God to do is not something that makes us look better in front of others. It's not change some outward aspect, but it's to change and work in our hearts. And so we're asking him, the way he changes us is he changes us gradually and he changes us internally. Does that make sense? All right, so we'll turn a corner and start to get more and more specific. The way as we look for what kind of discipline we might pursue, part of that depends on what we want. And so I wanna switch into personal testimony mode a little bit for a minute and let you into the imperfect world of Loretta and I and how some of this has looked for us these last couple years. And so there's this goals board that we built 2 years ago. Martin Sanders was here at the new year and encouraged us all to choose a word for the year, right? And the word that Loretta and I both came to was this word intimacy. And we wanted intimacy with God. We wanted intimacy with one another. We even wanted intimacy with some people around us. And so we took a couple days and we went to one of our friends' house from here at Grace. They were out of town and just spent a couple days together. First day trying to evaluate, where are we? How are we connecting with one another? How are we doing with our kids? How are we doing spiritually? How are we doing health-wise? I mean, all those pieces. And then day two, going, okay, where do we want to go with that? And what do we want? And so these are some things on here around intimacy. For example, well, this would be maybe the most important part, at least from an intimacy with God perspective. This says quiet time and prayer. There's 365 boxes up here. And we said, one of the things we said is we want to pray together. And before January 1st of last year, it's not that we never prayed together. We'd probably done it 10 times or 20 times, but it wasn't part of our rhythm. And we said that will increase our intimacy with one another, our spiritual intimacy, our emotional intimacy, all those pieces, and with God. And so we said, let's try to pray together. And out of 365 days, I think we prayed together 360-something days each evening, which was a practice that produced what we wanted, intimacy between us, each other, between God. We said we want to work out together to, you know, again, it's togetherness. We want to have date nights or family nights. By the way, on that note, we sometimes think of spiritual discipline, like God cares about this spiritual life, whatever that means. God cares about our whole life. And so one discipline that you could walk away from here, that would be a great discipline, quite possibly, is my spouse and I are going to start going on dates weekly or biweekly or something like that. So anyway, all of our life is on limits for what this could look like. Okay, the next slide comes from my focus this year, which is wisdom. It was my word for the year this year. And that was largely because of a couple of verses like this that I read last year. This says, take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels. And if you're like me, well, it doesn't matter if you're like me. I know I'm like me. I wake up. That wasn't even supposed to be funny. I wake up thinking about pursuing gold or silver kind of every day, right? I go to work to make a salary. Even at work, I'm raising money to do what we're doing. And this proverb says, actually, wisdom is better than that. And so I go, okay, how do I get after wisdom? So wisdom is what I want. What are some disciplines to get there? So one, as I said, I want to read the book of Proverbs, a typical book that's associated with wisdom, 6 times. And so I do that by today's August 25th. I woke up this morning. I read Proverbs chapter 25 to go with the day of week. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And I just take my little dice by the 25th and roll it over a day. And so all those dice are moving towards 6, at which point I'll have read the book of Proverbs 6 times. I want to choose wisdom over money. And so I set a goal of 6 times. I've done it 5 so far, where I made an intentional decision. Instead of X choice, which will pursue money, I'm going after Y choice, which will grow me in wisdom. And there's some stuff up here, like pray for wisdom every day, that I've totally failed at. So as we put all these things up there, I don't want to give the impression that we just go right through the list and perfectly execute. But that's what we're going for. And so I say all that to say, what we want helps us choose what disciplines we want to engage in. There's no list that you're supposed to practice or supposed to be good at. But if you want to grow in wisdom, you can think of something like, oh, I'm going to read Proverbs. Or if you want to grow in intimacy with God, you think, okay, I'm going to spend time with him every day. And those types of decisions help us grow. Does that make sense? Are we tracking? All right, so let's get practical and let's talk about 6 examples. So I'm going to give us 6 samples that we can lead with. I'm going to move through them pretty quickly and think maybe one of them will stick for you and you go, okay, over the next weeks or months, I'm going to push into practicing that discipline to produce some kind of fruit that God wants in me. Okay, so the first one is 15 minutes with God. And that's something that you guys have heard before. When I came back in 2017, y'all were already talking about it, so I assume you've been talking about it for a while. And there's a slide that we didn't even have to make because it has existed apparently for a long time of what 15 minutes with God means. So what it is, it's really 3 typical disciplines that are put together. One is 5 minutes reading the Bible. One is 5 minutes writing or journaling what God is highlighting or saying. And one is 5 minutes praying. And each of those, right, if you look up a spiritual disciplines book, reading scripture is one, journaling is one, prayer is one. 15 minutes is a powerful way to put them together. So we'll put a passage up here from Hebrews chapter 4, which says the word of God is living and active, and part of what it does is discern the thought and intentions of the heart. So as you sit down and read your Bible for 5 minutes, read one chapter of the Bible, it takes about 5 minutes, actually there's some living and active, powerful element that's actually working somewhere in your soul. And now if you take 5 minutes to add on to that by actually journaling and writing and reflecting, what's God doing? Even more powerful. And then we say, pray, God, will you do this in my life? Maybe you keep journaling that piece too. It ends up being a powerful combination. Again, not to say it won't feel hard or unhelpful for the first day or two or week or weeks even, I don't know. But if you pursue it over a long time, it will lead to change. By the way, you could also consider that doing that with someone. So Grace has a calendar of a way you can do it, or you could just get with a friend and say, let's start reading. So that, yes, you see this week, there's Ruth and Jude and Micah. Or you could get with a friend and say, hey, let's start in John chapter 1 this week or whatever that looks like, and maybe text back and forth the journaling piece of it. And so then you kind of get to get feedback from one another and have some accountability and peace like that. Okay, so 15 minutes with God, that's one. Number two is join a C group or a D group. That stands for community group and discipleship group at Grace. Nobody asked me to promote these. I'm not on some committee that seeks to get people in them. I just think it's a powerful discipline. So I was, as I thought about this, thinking about a small group that I was in college with a group of guys. And one weekend I went away with one of those guys and he pulled me aside as part of that weekend and said, hey, Matt, you used to be the kind of person who asked really good questions, who engaged with people and pulled them in. And now you just kind of talk about yourself and stuff that you care about a lot of the time. Which is super fun feedback to hear, right? Everybody's like, sign me up for a small group like that. No, I mean, of course, that was no fun to hear, but what valuable feedback for me who was slipping towards this habit of talking about myself instead of listening and asking good questions. And when we join some kind of a small group, a community group or discipleship group, what that does is invites us to receive that kind of feedback, to give that kind of feedback, to do some hard work vulnerably with other people. Okay, sample number three, example number three is praying scripture. This has been my favorite discipline of the last year. It's something that I never did a year ago, but I read about it and tried it. And so this is a Bible that I'll give to my daughter Ivy. I've got one as well for Stella and one for Grant. And it's got some lines in the margins. And what I do is I read the scripture there and pray for her along those lines. So I took a picture of one page from it. And so this is from the book of Job, which I read this year because it's part of the whole wisdom thing. And based on what I'm reading here, I'm praying over here. So may Ivy make a covenant with her eyes to only look at what honors you. May Ivy walk in honesty. May Ivy treat everyone fairly, even those whom she could get away with treating unfairly. May she see all as created in your image and love her neighbor as herself. May she give generously to the poor and care for the orphan and widow. May Ivy not trust in gold or find any identity in it. May she be wise, may she not be wise in her own eyes. So one of the fruits of this, A, is the God of heaven is hearing these prayers and moving in my kid's life. But what it's really done for me in an amazing way is shape my prayer life. So if I'm really honest about what my prayer life looked like for my kids, a year ago, my most prayed prayer by far was, may they sleep well tonight. And that's because I always prayed when I was laying in bed, and if they slept well, I slept well. And so it's like, God, let them sleep and not wake me up, which there's nothing wrong with that prayer, right? But it's not what I want my legacy to be for my kids. And what this kind of praying scripture has taught me to do is pray for some of those things I just mentioned, that Ivy would care for other people, that she would be generous. And those aren't the things that I wake up thinking about praying, right? I mean, it's just like, what do I pray for? So anyway, praying scripture. By the way, if that feels kind of intimidating, I also brought this up to show you. So this is a little, it's called a scripture journal. This is the book of Philippians, which you could read in, you know, 10 or 15 minutes if you just read it, I think. And this is about 20 pages, and it's got the words of the Bible on one side and a blank page on the other side. So this would be a great way to start, whether you're praying for yourself or praying for somebody else. It takes me about 2 hours to go through this whole book if I'm praying right through it for somebody, and it makes a cool gift for someone, or you can pray through it for yourself. But again, it'll help shape the way you pray for people in a different way. You can buy them for about $3 on christianbook.com or something. All right, so that's praying scripture. Number four is the discipline of secrecy. I wanted to make sure I got one at least up here that I was particularly not good at or that I needed, partially so I could dig into a little bit. And this is one of them. So just now putting that slide up from Ivy's Bible, I mean, I feel like God wants me to do that so that I can share that with you and spur you on to do it. But also, one of my major weaknesses is that I I just want you guys to like me. I want you to think I'm cool. I want to be impressive to people. And so when I do something like that, I mean, part of my hope is that you guys are going, wow, isn't Matt, can you believe he's doing that for each of his kids? He must be so spiritual, or, you know, whatever it is that I'm trying to get after. And same thing, you know, I love giving. I love being generous. And sometimes I share that stuff to encourage others, but I also share it because I want to be impressive and want people to like me and whatever. And so the discipline of secrecy is the idea of doing something generous or thoughtful and not telling anybody about it, right? So what if I can give something to somebody? Maybe it's even anonymous to that person or maybe not, but then I don't go home and tell maybe even Loretta about it or tell anybody else about it or certainly not use it as an example on stage. And what that cultivates in me is the desire to have to do it for different reasons, to do it just for God and me seeing it alone is enough, and to take away those pieces of wanting to be impressive. So I also like this example of secrecy because it's not necessarily a time commitment, right? Some of the disciplines are like, yeah, I want to try to read my Bible every day or do the 15 minutes with God every day. Whereas the secrecy thing is like, I'm going to be on the lookout for sometime in the next month, an opportunity to be generous, and I'm not going to tell anybody about it. It doesn't take any extra time, and yet it has fruit, can bear fruit in your life. Okay, example number 5 is fasting. This is one that, you know, we kind of think of it as, I don't know, I think of it as a discipline. I've not done it much at all, but I wanted to list it up here as, so this is one of the disciplines up on that other slide of, were the words engagement or abstinence, thank you. Discipline of abstinence, which can be used to counter what some call a sin of commission, so something we do, or an addiction, for example, like we mentioned earlier. So if you are addicted, if you're stuck in taking pills or smoking or looking at pornography or doing something that you don't want to be doing, fasting is a kind of discipline that helps train your body and say, I'm hungry and I want to eat, but I'm not going to. And so it's a training ground for resisting those other things that you want to resist. It also starts to bring out all the uncomfortable feelings, right? When you're hungry, when I'm hungry, I'm a lot less kind to my wife. And so I've got to start to deal with, you know, that stuff and process it. Some of the same things that could drive me towards an addiction. I guess hangry is a word for that these days. And so fasting helps deal with that. And as you go for a meal without food or a couple meals or days eventually without food, as you practice it and train for it, it helps you learn to resist other things, step away from addictions, etc. Okay, and then example 6, our last one, is up here because we're going to actually, and I throw this one up here because we're going to actually practice it here in a couple minutes and take 2 minutes of being silent to start to ask God, ask ourselves and God, where do we go with this? Is there something that we can practice over the coming weeks and months? So the discipline of silence, I mean, today, right, there's an endless stream, literally endless stream of stuff that we can consume, both noise and on screens and whatever. I mean, we could turn on Netflix and have thousands or probably thousands of shows that we could choose from and watch over and over and over again. Our Instagram feed or our Facebook feed or our email inboxes all just goes and goes and goes. And the discipline of silence is intentionally stepping away from some of that. And to wrestle with whatever happens when we step away from that. I could be driving to the office and thinking about something silly I did. And as soon as that starts to get uncomfortable, it's like, oh, red light, I'll just check my email. check the feed, whatever. And silence is resisting and living in some kind of uncomfortableness to get at something better. Silence also, I don't know if this is strictly silence. I'm not trying to write a book on this, I guess, so that's good. But one question you could ask is, well, great, Matt, where do I get time to do this stuff? I mean, I'm already busy. Really, you want me to join a small group that meets once a week or once every couple weeks? Or where do I find 15 minutes to do something new? And I think if we think about, again, these aren't shoulds, these aren't bad things, but if we think about, well, what happened if I actually gave up TV or got rid of my cable or turned, uninstalled Instagram or Facebook for a period of time. Not because I'm saying any of those things are bad, but I am saying if we contribute a couple hours a day or an hour a day to watching TV instead of to some of these training things, we could get a different result if we do something different, if we enter into some training. And I think silence is kind of part of that. So as we close, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to spend 2 minutes of silence, and I'm going to give us two questions to answer. Somebody came up to me after first service and said, I feel like God answered for me a 2-year question in that 2 minutes of silence. So not that everybody said that, or I think that's going to happen for all of us, but that's what I'm prayerful for, is that he'll meet us somewhere in this even brief practice of silence. And so I'll just go one question at a time, I guess. The first question is a question for you to ask yourself, which is, what do I want? So we'll just be quiet here for a minute, and I want you to ask, what do I want? Is it freedom from an addiction that I'm stuck in? Do I want a different kind of peace, or the joy that we sang about but I don't feel like I have? Some other connection with God? Do I want to be kinder to some coworkers even though I don't know how to do that? So let's just take a minute and answer that question. What is it I want? And then question number two is there a discipline that I can practice? Is there some kind of activity I can engage in that will help me move that direction? We said if it's joy, you could write things you want to be grateful for. I don't know if that's going to be clear, but let's just pray that God would show us something. What could I engage in to help me get there? If you've got some ideas, I encourage you to write it down or type it in your phone and to take it from here and seek to actually practice it. By the way, you can Google if what you want is whatever it is, patience. You can probably Google spiritual discipline to help with patience or something if you don't feel like you got some ideas just now, and press into it. There's lots of material out on it. So let me pray for us. Father, I do pray that you would indeed meet each of us here this morning, that we would be bold to say to ourselves, what do we actually want? And to participate in activity that helps us get there. Lord, we confess that ultimately it's you that has to change us. I can't snap my fingers and make myself joyful or patient, or that I can do an inchworm across the stage or not. But Lord, you can do that stuff in us, and you're inviting us to partner in that. We're grateful, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll repeat after me one more time, God is working in me, and he's inviting me to participate. Some people were praying before the service and heard that potentially some of you have some kind of discomfort, I don't know what that means, or want more peace. If that's you, or for any other reason, if you'd like to come, there'll be a team of people up here who will pray for you after the service. I pray that you would go from here encouraged, not feeling overwhelmed like you got to do a list of things, but that God's maybe inviting you to do one thing and meet with him in that. Thanks very much. Have a great rest of your Sunday. In love, Jesus.